Thanks, Nikki. Well, it's been a really interesting year, hasn't it, over there, over the last several months. I doubt any of us really could have predicted, say, 12 months ago, that we would be here, where we are right now, having Zoom meetings. But here we are. This is what we're doing. And nevertheless, through everything that's happened over these 9 months or so, I feel God still really speaking to me powerfully. And I guess this has started right back to September last year. And as we came into 2020, you remember we started Withdraw the Circle, and this was a kind of way of intentionally praying and making our whole prayer life much stronger. In particular, praying for those that we love who don't know Jesus at this time, and it was a really powerful time to the year. And during this time, also God was speaking to us, if you remember, about taking church outside of four walls. And before we could even really get started, thinking about how we might outwork that, then the pandemic, of course, hit us. And I remember some people starting to think that, well, maybe now, we really have taken church outside of the four walls. At least we'd taken church outside of the four walls of Frenchay Village Hall. In truth, I think we had taken church outside of four walls, and we'd placed church inside all the four walls of all of our houses. And there's part of me, I think, feels that we are more inside four walls now than we were even before the pandemic. It was around this time, though, in the early weeks when we started our Zoom meetings, God gave me quite a strong word. You may remember it, about the man who was crippled, and four friends came and picked him up and lowered him through the roof where Jesus was speaking, so that this man could be healed. And the thing that God really spoke to me about through that story was, it was about where these four men were and where they weren't. If you remember, they weren't in the house. They weren't within those four walls where Jesus was sharing and teaching. And you'd think, well, wouldn't they want to be? Well, of course they would want to be. Who wouldn't want to be in the presence of Jesus? But the thing that God laid on my heart was, rather than there, they were outside, living out the kingdom of God. They were outside bringing the love of Jesus to a man who was in great need, and then they brought that man to Jesus. So they were not inside those four walls. Of course, the pandemic continued, didn't it? It became worse and worse. We all perhaps thought it was going to be over after a few weeks, or we're still in this pandemic, and it became really impossible for us to meet physically. And as a pastor of the church, I think one of my main concerns at that point, once the realization kicked in that we're in here for the long term now, is how can I look after the church? How can I make sure that the church is in a good place? So we really knuckled down, didn't we? We knuckled down to having regular Zoom meetings. We were sharing, we're praying, having teaching, breaking bread. Our meetings were interactive, for me personally, I've really enjoyed these times. For me, they've kept me strong. They've built me up. But I recognize, as time has gone on, more and more of us have found these Zoom meetings harder, perhaps less fulfilling. It's not what we're used to. We crave for the being together in the flesh. We crave for corporate worship. We all do. I do. I really understand this. And in some ways, Zoom is starting to take its toll. Yet all the way through this, I've still felt God speaking to me very powerfully, whispering some things to me that I think God has been whispering to me all along, really, through this and right back into September, like I said. And I think, one of the things that I feel God is saying to me is that we need to break out of our routines and traditions and the things that we just do regularly, And we've got to refocus again our attention on the importance of mission, God's mission, the mission that we're called, each one of us are called to share the gospel and, you know, to bring, you know, bring people to a relationship with Jesus. Remember, we started our meeting with that lovely devotional reading that Sue had shared in the leaders meeting about the importance of sharing the gospel. And I think I've been feeling this burden really now for some time. And when you carry a burden that is truly from God, it just doesn't go away. No matter what is happening, it stays with you. And this has stayed with me. You know, I've said many times, haven't you? You've heard me say this, that I have a kind of an inner resistance to simply, you know, going through the motions, just doing church, kind of playing church sounds a bit too derogatory, and I don't mean it like that, but just going through all the normal routines of church, you know, coming together, singing our songs, having teaching, and it's great, and I do believe we have really good meetings, but there's something about that repetition of doing the same thing all the time that creates a burden in me to want to feel that we need to be doing something more, something else. And if you remember the other week, 2 weeks ago, Nikki shared a really, really good word. If you haven't heard this, you really need to go back to the podcast and listen to it. But Nikki shared about the importance of having a new perspective. And that's one of the ways sometimes that we can break out of routines, is to kind of step out for a moment and see things from a new angle, a new perspective. And I remember when I was listening to some of the New Wine recordings, this is a really good example of a new perspective, because Pete Hughes from King's Cross Church in London, he was sharing about the story of the lost sheep and the good shepherd, and how the shepherd would go and leave the 99 and would go and seek the lost, that one lost sheep. And the new perspective that Pete Hughes brought when he shared that story is that the truth is, in today's world, you know, we've probably only really got 1% of sheep in our churches, and 99% of the population in any community isn't coming to church, and they're lost. And the sad thing about church at this time is that we probably spend 99% of our time looking after the 1% of the sheep, when the 99% of the population are out there still lost. And it's a real challenge, I think, to each and every one of us to try and rebalance things and readdress the emphasis of what we're all about to really looking after the 99. And so, one of the things I think I'm feeling at the moment is God really wants us to change our focus and change our emphasis. And really, it's less about ourselves and our own personal well-being and our own personal lives in God. And it's more about us bringing the love of Jesus to those all around us, to all of our communities. That includes, of course, the French Aid community where we meet as a church. But it's also our home communities, our neighbourhoods. It was lovely, Pauline, to hear that you and John have invited your neighbours around. That's just so what I'm feeling. You know, God wants us to reach out to our neighbourhood communities, but it's also our extended family communities. Many of us have non-Christian members of our extended family. It's our social communities, our social networks, people we meet and go out and play sport with or whatever. And of course, our work communities. You know, most of us, I'm sure, work with people who don't know Jesus. All these communities, God wants us to reach, and God has placed each one of us carefully where we live, where we work, the family we belong to. You know, this is all by design, and God has a responsibility for each one of us to want to reach these people. Of course, you know, I would say this, you know, our faith really isn't anything if our faith is not impacting these communities. You know, what is the point of our faith if our faith is not having an impact on those that God has placed around us? Now, we might say at this moment in time, well, what can I do whilst we're in lockdown? And it's a fair question, you know, but I really believe we should not allow lockdown to become an excuse for not being the kind of the missional people of God that he has called us to be. And, you know, a phrase you might want to write down, and I probably would call the title of this talk, is that we're in lockdown, not locked up. Okay, we're in lockdown, but we are not locked up. There is nothing, not anything, that needs to stop us from sharing the love of Jesus to all the people who are around us at this time. So with that in mind, I want to share with you some thoughts from the story of the Good Samaritan. This is a really well-known story. But God laid this story on my heart several weeks ago during the summer. And, you know, I just knew that God was speaking to me. And it's one of those things that God always seems to confirm. You know, the moment I started reading this story and thinking about it, this story seemed to be popping up left, right and center. So I knew that this was what God wanted me to share. We find the story in Luke 10, 25 to 37. So let's read it. It said, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? And he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? Well, in reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? And the expert of the law replied, well, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Now, I don't have time to fully expand on this story. So what I want to do is really very quickly just highlight just one or two key things I felt God was saying to me and I feel is really important for us as a church at this time. So the first thing I noticed was this, that the priest, and I'm guessing the Levite too, were also travelling in the same direction. They were going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. So, you know, we can speculate a little bit as to what the priest and the Levite had been doing in Jerusalem when they then left and went and travelled to Jericho. I suspect that the priest had been doing his daily duties in the temple. And I suspect the Levite had been doing that too, and they're doing everything that they need to do in the temple, in the presence of God. And then they left the temple and they were on their way home down into Jericho because lots of people lived in Jericho. And if you wanted to translate this story into sort of a 2020 period, then you could say these were Christians in a church and they probably had a great time. They'd been singing great songs, they'd had great fellowship, they'd had great teaching, there'd been lots of cakes, lots of hugs. They're all very happy, they felt like they'd been in the presence of God, and then they go home. And the really sad thing about this is that, you know, when the priest and the Levite left the temple of God, having done all their duties, and they go home, they fail to see a real need that was right in front of their eyes. And again, in modern terms, it would be like us, you know, spending having a great time on a Sunday morning in New Life Church in French A Village Hall, and it's just wonderful. And then when we go home, or maybe during the whole week, we simply are blind to what God is doing all around us, and it has no impact at all. And for me, I think this is probably one of the strongest messages that God is saying to me through this story. You know, surely you would have thought, wouldn't you, that the priest, all the Levite, due to their strong understanding and commitment, to the law that God had given them and their relationship with God, you would have thought, wouldn't you, that at least one of these two people would have responded in kindness and mercy towards this man who'd been beaten and robbed and been left for dead. But they were too concerned. What were they concerned about? They probably were too concerned about obeying the laws of purity and cleansing and not touching the unclean, because they probably thought this person was dead. And if they touched him, they would probably be kind of out of work for 2 weeks as they made themselves clean. And the rules of the law somehow had taken priority over what the law actually said, was that which was to love God and love others. And they'd got so wrapped up in the protocol of church that they'd forgotten really what being a Christian was all about. It says, doesn't it, in Matthew 22 verse 40, the law can be summed up by these two commandments, and I paraphrase it, it's love God, love others. And you know, we can get so wrapped up with so much in church. It's not like church is just very simple. You know, there's so much things go on in church, but when we get so wrapped up in church and we forget the two principles, love God and importantly love others, then we might find ourselves behaving in just the same way as the priest and the Levite were behaving. See, this is the law that, you know, that Jesus and this man were talking about. This man was able to quote the law, but even though he quoted the law, somehow he didn't really understand the law. You know, we can quote scriptures and we can recite songs and we can come out with all the wonderful sound bites and all these things, but if we don't, you know, we can say these things, but if we're not actually living these things, if it's not really having an impact in our lives and having an impact in the lives around us, then what are we really like? Something has gone wrong. I think the second thing that really spoke to me in this story is the fact that this story actually is being spoken because this man, this expert of the law, he said he was trying to justify himself. That was an interesting phrase that was early on in that scripture. It says he was trying to justify himself. And what I think I understand from that was that he wanted Jesus to confirm that everything this man was doing and everything he was practicing and everything he wasn't doing, that was correct. He wanted Jesus basically to give him a good pat on the back and say, yeah, you've got it right. You know, I suspect this man probably most closely identified himself with the priest or the Levite. He was an expert of the law. He was probably, you know, a fairly important person. So I think this man would have really expected Jesus to have said, yep, the Levite and the priest, they got it right. They should, you know, they had to obey the law. They couldn't touch this person. Well done. You understand it right. But of course, they weren't the heroes of this story. The hero of this story was the Samaritan. And basically, Jesus said to this man, this expert of the Lord, you know, you've got it wrong. You really have got it wrong. You know, and we can pat ourselves on the back as a church. And sometimes I do. I look at what we have as a church. I look at the way we are as a church. I look at the life we enjoy and the teaching and the worship, the fellowship that we have. You know, I think we're a wonderful church. And there's nothing wrong with thinking that we're a wonderful church. I love New Life Church. But, you know, we cannot pat ourselves on the back if the one thing that's most important to God and why Jesus died in the first place is if we're not reaching the lost. If somehow, you know, in the emphasis of running church and making sure that everything that we do and enjoy is full of life, and yet somehow we're not outworking the mission, then we have no right to pat ourselves on the back. And we need to go back to God and say, God, help us to understand what it really means afresh to love you and to love our neighbours. You know, I ask myself the question, are we more about meetings than mission? And that's a really challenging and important question. You know, I do find it personally interesting that, you know, I think I've always looked, when I looked at this story, and you maybe are the same, when I look at this story, I've always generally been quite critical of the priest and the Levite, thinking, well, you know, they got it wrong, didn't they? Maybe it's time for each one of us to be critical of ourselves and to really ask ourselves the question, who am I most like in this story? I know these are challenging words, but God loves this world. He's passionate about this world. He gave his son to die for this world, and he is calling his church, and that's you and me, to step up to his mission to save this world. You will have seen an email go out last week from Dave on behalf of the leadership about Mission All. And we've called it Mission All, not because we want to be sort of, you know, introduce some sort of clever term or clever brand. It's because Mission All actually is really inspired, because it actually captures, I think, what mission is all about. It's all of us reaching all those around us. Get that? All of us, every one of us, reaching all of those who are around us. It involves every single one of us. And, you know, whatever we might do as a church, that is New Life Church Bristol, an organisation, a group, a body, whatever we do corporately, that can never ever be a substitute for what each of us does individually in our personal walk with God and our personal circumstances. And this is why, you know, we're feeling right now as a leadership that we need to help each one of us raise our attention, raise our focus, raise our emphasis back again towards the importance of mission. You know, there is so much more. I feel I would love to share out of this story of the Good Samaritan, because it's so deep, it's so important. But I just want to actually finish by just summarizing some of the things that the Good Samaritan did. And I want to point out at this stage, you know, there is nothing supernatural in what the Good Samaritan did, okay? So I don't want any of us to think that we have to be a pastor or a leader of a church, or that we have to have the ability to walk on water or move incredibly in the prophetic or laying on of hands and healing the sick and all these things. It's great if you can do that. You know, God has given us spiritual gifts in order to bring, you know, the power of God to the world. But actually in this story, as far as I can see it, there's not an ounce of supernatural. So what I'm going to share, every single one of us can do this without any exception or without any excuse. The first thing the Good Samaritan did was he gave this person his attention. He stopped. He stopped where that person was. He inquired. He looked to find out what was wrong with this person. And he did something there and then, in the moment. He bandaged him up. He poured wine and vinegar onto it to help with the wounds. Yeah, he gave him his attention. How many of us can do that? The second thing I see him doing, he gave practical help in that moment. I just said that. He carried him on his donkey. Okay, he carried him on his donkey to a place where he could be helped further and restored. In other words, he was willing to go on a journey with this person. You know, it's one thing, isn't it, to throw a pound coin in somebody's cap, you know, just say, well, go and get yourself a drink, or go and buy yourself some food. It's another thing entirely, isn't it, to actually take time and journey with a person. But that's what he did. And when he got to the inn, what did he do? He cared for him. He didn't just hand him over straight away. He cared for him. He was willing to step out of his own agenda. He was willing to step out of his own time and pressures and give that person time and care. He met the immediate financial needs, and he committed also to any future needs. To look, you know, if you need more money, I'll come and I will give you what it takes. You know, this is real commitment, isn't it? To stay with a person, you know, right through the journey, not just kind of walk away and thinking now it's somebody else's responsibility. And what else did he do? He promised to return. You know, he wasn't just going to walk away and forget. He was going to follow up. You know, these are big commitments. I recognize that, but this is what he did, and I think it'd be good for each one of us to try and translate the actions that the Good Samaritan did and think, well, how does this apply in my everyday life at home, in my everyday life amongst my neighbors, amongst my friends, and amongst my work colleagues? You know, I love that song that Val brought and the words where it says, break my heart for what breaks yours. Because, you know, if we could really see that those words answered in our personal lives, then I think we'll be stopping all the time. I think we'll be giving our time all the time. I think we'll be giving our finances all the time. And I think we will be journeying all the time with people, because we will feel it in our hearts as we see how God feels about these things. Remember, and I'll finish with this phrase, you know, this might feel like, well, how do we do this? You know, how do I even see these things? The phrase I shared just the other week, you know, in order to see the picture, you need to step out of the frame. And the things that we're putting in place over these next few weeks really are to help us to step out of the frame. You know, we're in a frame of New Life Church, that we do these things all the time, we go through these routines, but there's something inside of me that says, no, we've got to step out of the frame now to see this new perspective, to see the picture of God, so that we can once again be the missional people that God has called us to be.